Come on, for Jonathan, say, I served him.
Yes.
David served Jonathan so much that Jonathan changed positions with him.
Yes.
He served his father, and Saul refused to accept the servant and tried to kill him. And pursued him for years trying to kill him, and David was still trying to serve him.
Yes.
He said, I cut the tassel off your robe while you were yet there at night, and your guards were there. And he said, God delivered you to me twice, and I spared your life.
Yes.
He said, what? He said, I will not kill what the Lord God has anointed.
Yeah.
You were king because God anointed you. Let God deal with you. I'm going to serve you.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Come on. That's what he said. I'm going to serve you. And here it is, Mephibosheth sitting at the king's table. He gave him land, gave him money. And the writer said, and they brought out a cloak or a cloth, and they covered his legs that when the guests came, they would never know there was no strength in him. Boy, you'll get that revelation later. He's at a table with all the dignitaries, all the high people, and he's sitting there laughing and they're having fun. They don't even know he's paralyzed because David hid it from him. That's what servitude does. It hides your weaknesses. Oh, you missed that. I'll say it again. Serving hides your weaknesses. When you are selfish, it exposes your weaknesses. Come on, you got to see that. Watch this, Philippians 2, 4. Are you getting something?
Yes.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. It says this. Let each of us, or let each of you, look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others.
Yes.
Boy, that's a big one there.
That's a big one.
So that means you can't just talk about the me club no more.
Right.
Supposed to be the us. Do you know commonwealth is normal in the kingdom?
Yes.
I'll say it again. Commonwealth is normal in the kingdom.
Yes.
When you are selfish, you making money, you see your brother next to you can't even pay attention, and you sit there and smile and say, I'll pray for you. You ought to be ashamed of your sanctified self.
Yes.
And you have the money. He's not asking, or she's not asking for every dime. She just needs a little help. And instead of you helping her, you're going to reach your hand out. No, pull that hand back. There's no truth in that hand. If there was truth, then there'd be something in it.
Right.
Take them grocery shopping and buy them grocery. You have to tell nobody. Just put them in your car and say, come on, I'm taking you to the grocery store. You get whatever you need for your house.
Right.
And don't tell nobody the bill. Don't talk about the receipt. Cut it up. Get rid of it.
Right.
Get rid of it. Why? So you won't go back and look at it. Because
right.
If you show up, come on, if you show up, you're going to tell everybody. And your reward comes from man rather than Christ.
Right.
Oh, that's too deep for you right there. Let each one of you not look only out for his interest, but the interest of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's one of the big keys. Let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, Father.
Father.
Please allow.
Please allow.
The mind of Christ.
Mind of Christ.
To manifest.
In me.
Now.
Now.
Now watch verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, whose form are you made in?
God's.
Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God.
Yes.
He's saying he expected to go back to his original state.
Yes, sir.
You should expect to be like you were supposed to be when you first came to the earth.
Yes.
Without sin.
Yes, sir.
But made himself of no reputation. Here's the key. He made himself. Nobody had to force him. He
made himself.
In other words, humility isn't just you saying you're humble, it's self-discipline to the point of obeying God.
Yes.
That's what humility is, self-discipline. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. This is the uncomfortable part. Became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross.
Yes.
He became obedient. How do you become obedient? This is going to be a big one. I'm going to use somebody you don't know so you won't say I'm talking about you. Brother X was given something to do by God. Do this for the other brother X. Mm-hmm. God, I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it. It's uncomfortable sometimes.
Yes.
Come on, talk to me. It's uncomfortable.
Yes, sir.
to serve other people.
Yes, sir.
But get up and serve. Because even in being uncomfortable, he's telling you that's how Christ learned obedience.
Yes.
It was uncomfortable for him to stand up there with the Pharisees and for them to slap him in the face, knowing that he made them, and for them to dishonor him. And the writer said he opened not his mouth. It was uncomfortable, but God told him, in order for you to redeem man and to help them, you have to also go through the Pharisees.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And you can't say anything about them until judgment. Oh boy, give me a scripture, Pastor. He's talking to the Pharisees. They're talking about all the religious stuff that they're doing and how holy they are and how blessed they are. And he's saying, wait a minute. He said, you know Moses? He said, no, we know about Moses. We know Moses was here. He said, what about Abraham? Well, we know Abraham. Abraham is here. He said, Abraham's our father. He said, hold on then. He said, I'll tell you what. I'll let Moses judge you. You missed that. That's him talking about their future again. He didn't say, I'll ask God to let Moses judge you. He said, I'm going to let Moses judge you. He's talking to the Pharisees. You think you're that deep? You think you got that much revelation with your religious self? And he said, I'm trying to talk to you and tell you who I am, and you should know and you don't know. He said, I'll tell you what, you trying to put all your hopes on Moses? He said, watch Moses judge you the same way. That's what he said. It's in the manual. Why is that important? Because we ourselves have to have the same mind. My objective on this earth is to become who I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
Come on, that's what God sent you here for, to become. Nobody else on the earth is like you.
Nobody.
The earth is waiting for you to show up.
Amen.
The only way you're going to show up is to understand that you must show up. The only way you're ever going to show up is you must say to yourself, I must show up.
Yes, sir.
And the only way you're going to ever agree with that is you must have the mind of Christ. It is not wrong for me to be wealthy.
No, it is.
It is not wrong for me to live right.
No.
It is not wrong for me to live in an act of blessing. It is not wrong for me to have enough to help other people.
That's right.
It is not wrong for that. But it is wrong when God tells me to do something and I don't.
Right.
I'm stopping the process of what I'm stopping the process of me becoming out of the way and Christ increasing.
Right.
That's what John understood when he showed up. John said, look, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He said, now I must decrease and he must increase. Why? Because both of us can't be on the scene at the same time.
Yeah.
You and you can't show up when Christ show up.
Yes.
It must be Christ in you, the hope of glory. You must serve Christ out of you.
Yes.
That's the only way. You must serve him out of you. If you don't serve him out of you, he can never show up. Because the only way he came to the earth was as a servant. And because he hasn't come back yet, you must follow the same rules. You must serve him out of you. You must serve to the point where it hurts you to get out of
you.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
It hurts sometimes when people make you that promise and don't show up.
Yes, sir.
Come on, it hurts. And it's uncomfortable. And you want to cry. I've cried plenty of days. I've been pastoring this church for over 8 years now. 8 years legally. I'm talking legally, literally pastoring. 8 years. Why do I say legally? I'm going to tell you why I say legally. Because the first 2 years, I wasn't sure.
All right.
You can say what you want to say. I wasn't sure. I'm like, are you sure you want me to do this? God, me? And I began to show him my qualifications and my credentials of why I shouldn't be doing it. He told me to be quiet. He said, I'm going to tell you why I chose you. And this is a simple reason. Because I chose you. No long speech, I ain't have no lightning, no thunder. So why? 8 years. You don't want to know the tears that I've cried. You don't want to know the pain, the lies, the backbiting, the false stories. The list I can go on for the next 2 hours and just talk about year one. And then when it's all said and done, they stand in your face. Can you pray for me?
All right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Freeman has to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And I have to let Christ pray for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Christ in you.
You get that. That's the mindset he had. That's the mindset. A centurion soldier who were killing believers. A centurion soldier who he knew that was worshiping other idols came to him and said, a servant of mine is sick, just come. I don't even need you to come to my house, just say so.
Yeah.
He was talking to Jesus, but he pulled out Christ.
Yes.
He said, I've not heard such faith in all of Israel.
Yes.
He said, go, your servant is made whole. And the writer said, as he went, the other servants ran to him. And they told him, your servant, the fever is gone. He's in his right mind. He's strong. He's sturdy. He's sitting up. He said, about what time did it happen? And when they told him, he said, that's the same hour that he spoke the word to him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
See, it's okay that he hides you in these frames. But he's trying to get Christ out of you. And the only way he's going to come out, you have to serve to get him out. Because if you don't serve, you don't qualify for the reward. The reward is waiting for Christ. Every promise is to you in your original state. You must serve. And it's uncomfortable, I got that. But have the same mind. Matthew 23. Let's get rid of religion real quick. And get rid of the religious mindset. Then we have two more, and we're going to park here, and then we're going to pray. And we pray for total freedom today, Father. Yes. So we can learn. Matthew chapter 23. These are some of the woes that he gave the scribe and Pharisees. Scribes and Pharisees are religious leaders. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again quickly. The most common people that are going to be against you are church folk. So you can say what you want to say. I didn't say people who were saved, born again, who knew God. I said church folk. Because religious leaders are dangerous. They know enough of the word to hold you hostage, but they themselves are not living it. That's what Christ described them. And I'm going to say the same thing. I don't care who get mad or whatever. That's on you. If you are a religious person and you are holding other people hostage because of the fact of your religiosity, then you fall into this category. I didn't say it. The master said it. So talk to him about it. Matthew 23:23, watch this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin and have neglected, and he said, everything you get, you give, which is fine, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So some of us, we say we serve this person, we serve that person. He said, yeah, but oh, I gave a $400 check to the ministry. He said, that don't mean nothing. Are you a servant? Do you understand life from a servant's view? Mm-hmm. Come on, that's what he's saying. They gave from everything they had. He said, it means nothing. Because you forgot the law. You forgot the heart of the law, is what it says in the original language. You forgot the most important aspects. Justice, mercy, and faith. He said, you forgot those. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Watch this. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Yes. You pick at people for little stuff and you swallowing camels. Mm. Come on, that's what it's in your manual. That's what he said. Yes, you want to nitpick people about little things, but you yourself have some major issues you're not dealing with. Amen. Come on. Verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside. This is us, whether we like it or not. Because he also talked about it in Revelation, about all the wealth and stuff that we're trying to get. He said, but understand this. When you get the wealth, you forgot me. That's why he warns about wealth. He's not mad at you getting wealth. He's saying, but when you get the wealth, don't bow your knee to it.
That's right.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish that the outside of them may be clean also. This is a major key. Serving people cleanses you from the inside out.
Amen.
You must know that. Serving brother, sister, mom, father cleanses you from the inside out. Thank you for joining us today at Kingdom Ministries International. You can visit us online at kingdomfamilies.online or call us at 754-229-5641. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you.